It's great to be with you again this morning and get a chance to present a lesson to you. This is not one of my more typical lessons. We've done a few of these since I've been here. I call these a fun lesson, actually. Because we're not going to talk about each other. We're not going to talk about other people. Well, we're going to talk about some people, but we try not to. We're in the beginning of our Bibles, in the world we live in, we are bombarded by evolutionary so-called scientists that talk about that our world is millions and billions of years old. And yet we find in the Bible, as God has informed us of the creation of mankind, he's told us about about where we came from. I got to get myself set up here. The clicker don't work unless you turn it on. There we go. Okay. In the Bible, it tells us the very first verses in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's the very, very first words that the Bible speaks of. It's of our origins, where we came from. And if following the Bible timeline, the age of the earth would be about 6,000 to 10,000 years old. But yet evolutionists want to have the Bible being, or the earth being, millions and billions of years old. And part of it, we'll see some of these things as we go through the lesson this morning. What it amounts to is there's two main tenets of evolution that they have to have. And one of them is they have to have a lot of time. They have to have a lot of time, and they have to have things happen by chance, which leads to why they have to have so much time, because after all, the longer things exist in time, the more likely it is by chance something to happen. And they say that you put 1,000 monkeys in a room on typewriters, eventually they'll write the works of Plato. You give them enough time, right? Of course. Well, that's the evolutionist idea. And this is, and evolutionary ideas are obviously taught in our school system. They will be taught, and I still don't know for certain in Idaho's school systems how the state mandates and directions, what limits what they can and can't do. I know from Arkansas, they still have threads and lots of evolutionary concepts that our kids are taught. And so these are, and they're taught as fact. They're not even taught as theory. They're taught as fact. And so I want to take a little bit of time and look at basically some of the best evidences for a young earth. For a young earth. Because we realize the Bible, if the Bible's true, and I obviously believe it is, the earth cannot be older than 10,000 years old. That's just a fact. It's not older than that. The Bible, the way it the Old Testament gives a chronological history of man. It lists Adam through Mary in time, in sequence. And so these people, to all that existed, the earth cannot be that old with the events talked about in the Bible. So how old is the earth? And some of the best evidences that we have in recent years, and this is in the last 10 years, they found a dinosaur, a Triceratops, something like that. I'm not going to necessarily say I'm going to pronounce these right. But there was a scientist, and he was a microscopist for a Colorado University, and he evaluates and has found this dinosaur bone in Montana somewhere. Hell's Canyon, I think is what the name of it was. So he found this. Hold on, man. Let me hit the wrong button. This dinosaur, the horn off that Triceratops, was found in Hell's Canyon, Hell Creek, Montana, in 2012. So he gets this horn and begins looking at it, and lo and behold, he finds soft tissue in this bone that's supposedly millions of years old. Millions of years old, but they're finding soft tissue. And basically, that's unheard of. That cannot happen. This particular professor, this gentleman, was ended up being fired from the university because he made this find and published it. And he was told that we're not going to tolerate your religion as part of what he was told. And thus he was fired. And in the end, they paid him almost $500,000 to settle a court over this firing. But nonetheless, this dinosaur bone had soft tissue in it. And they was able to find this, in this case, with a microscope. It is implausible to think that a dinosaur structure could exist for millions of years on this earth and not completely rot, decay, or turn into a rock, being petrified. Yet they're finding soft tissue. This is not the only one. this lady, Switzer, out of North Carolina State University, where she graduated from, as she goes through here, now she looked at the remaining. So she's an evolutionary scientist. She believes in evolution. This lady does. The astonishment came when Switzer team dissolved some fragments in weak acid, and they did that to remove the bone from outside of it. When we read this article, they looked at the only remaining chunk in the microscope. She couldn't believe its elasticity. It took her some time to realize that it was soft tissue, which, being from a dinosaur bone, had never before been seen by a scientist. They're finding soft tissue. This is actually a T-Rex. And here's some pictures, and these are on the internet. And this is from an evolutionary scientist admitting that there's soft tissue in a dinosaur bone, and from a T-Rex, supposedly a 68 million year old bone. Science, we're going to see, and here's another picture. This information come from a different website. It may be answers in Genesis in that particular case. I've left a reference here. No. That one is completely external from evolutionary sciences directly, actually. The next picture that I have here is from a soft tissue, a blood vessel in a dinosaur bone that's also found. This particular picture is from the Bible.ca, is the ones who have published that one. And then another quote here that I wanted to show you, and this is from Bible.ca also. This is Don Patton and Steve Rudd, and some of you, they're not here, but they recognize Steve Rudd, some of the work he's done. These two men have done a lot of work in counteracting the evolutionary concepts that are published in our world. They found round and tiny nucleated. They were threaded through the bone like red blood cells and blood vessels. But the blood cells in the dinosaur bone should have disappeared eons ago. I don't know exactly what measure of time that is. I don't know, but eons, millions of years ago. But it looked like a slice of modern bone. But of course, he couldn't believe it. The bones were, after all, 65 million years old. How could blood cells survive that long? And that was from 1993. The Triceratops was from Montana in the last 10 years. And this was from 93, this particular find here. And I think this is referencing the Switzer T-Rex find, I believe, is this quote was from. In Arkansas, where we live, Don Patton lives there, and his house is upstairs as a museum. He has two bones in his museums. I don't know if I actually held these or not. These two bones right here are not non-petrified dinosaur bones. They are as light as a feather, like you pick up a bone in the field of a carcass. Light as, they're not rock. They're not decayed. Yet for an animal that's supposed to be millions and millions of years old, they have not rotted or decayed. Well, I mean, our point is they're not millions of years old. They wouldn't be there. And so we actually saw those. I didn't hold it. He passed it around to some folks. I don't remember holding either one of them. But those are in a museum that I actually, Debbie and I got to tour this past summer, actually. In June, we went to that. And so, and some of the stuff I'm showing you actually coming from his museum, and some of the stuff that I'm showing you comes from other research places on the internet, and I'll make a point of where they originate from, just for your benefit. Dinosaurs cannot be millions of years old and not have decayed and rotted or turned into rock, stone. What some of these scientists say about these things, and there's a couple of quotes here, and I think I've presented some of these before, but a lot of y'all were out of town. I think the kids were here. So I think this summer when some of you were out of town, I presented some of these. So I'll read these. I don't know how well you can see it. Alleged human bones in the coal deposits, if authenticated as human, these bones would blow the theory of evolution out of water. Now, in this particular case, we're not specifically talking about dinosaurs here. We're talking about in time. Human bones cannot exist in that structure because the coal was created millions of years ago. That's where most of the dinosaurs went, supposedly. That's why there's coal there now. Another author here, notice the bolded part of that, we should be very surprised to find fossilized humans appearing in the record before mammals were supposed to have evolved. In other words, they can't have humans and these mammals at the same time or even humans before that. Okay, if a single well-verified mammal skull were to turn up in a 500-million-old rock, then the whole modern theory of evolution would be utterly destroyed. In the very end, talking about, and I didn't bolt all of this, and this article is from 1986, there was a riverbed, we're going to look at pictures of it, and in Texas, talks about these supposedly fake human footprints which were carved during the Depression to fool tourists.
in Dinosaur Beds of Texas. That's Glen Rose, Texas. So this is the evolutionary's comments on human footprints coexisting with dinosaur footprints. I'm going to show you the picture of those from that actual scene there. Also here, the unequivocal discovery of a fossil population of horses in these rocks would disprove evolution. More generally, any topsy-turvy sequence of fossils would force us to rethink our theory. In other words, if human bones were found in a structure supposed to be millions of years old, that can't happen. It can't happen. Those things, humans and dinosaurs did not coexist. And he says, as Darwin recognized, a single geographic inconsistency would have nearly the same power of destruction. In other words, if we find this and we prove that dinosaurs and humans weren't separated by millions of years, the whole theory of evolution is destroyed. Once again, that's a 1980 quote from the 1980s era. NOVA, I like watching them. They got some neat shows, but they are not they're evolutionists. They're talking about dinosaur footprints side by side with humans. Finding them would counter evidence that humans evolved long after the dinosaurs came extinct, and back up the claim that all species, including man, were created at one time. In other words, if man and dinosaurs were shown to coexist, evolution is debunked. And they were all created at the same time. That's NOVA, from a NOVA program. Also, here again, co-occurrence of men and dinosaurs. In the entire history of creation, including the day of rest, could be accommodated in 7 biblical days of Genesis. And you talk about that as a myth, and evolution would be vanquished. And so there, again, is some of the quotes from some of those men. Yet, and I know these are hard to see, these are burial stones. These are in Hot Springs in the Smithsonian Museum also. You can hold these and look at them. The pictures are hard to see with our particular projector. But this is part of non-Pat's first artifacts. They're found in Peru in South America. And let me ask you, who could draw a picture of a dinosaur hundreds and hundreds of years ago except they had seen a dinosaur? How would someone draw a dinosaur if they'd never seen one before? Hundreds of years ago in Peru, they knew what a dinosaur looked like. Now, you can say it's been carried down from families, and people talked about it, they drew it over ages and even centuries. These pictures could continue, but a man saw a dinosaur. They didn't know what these things looked like. In this picture here, look at this dinosaur here. See all these? How did they know such detail about a dinosaur except they coexisted with dinosaurs? Some man saw this. So these were found in Peru. China, I'm sorry. This emblem was found in China. And it's over 4,000 years old. Once again, this is in the museum in Hot Springs. Another one, these here are in Mexico. Dinosaur figurines that somebody made out of clay in Mexico. That's not a good picture. This picture is from a temple in Cambodia. And yet here we have a dinosaur, a Strigosaurus, in the Cambodia. And so we have the evidences of dinosaurs all over the continent, all over America, all over the world. We have people who have seen enough of a dinosaur that they can recreate them. And they draw them. And in this same picture, they also have other animals in this temple. I mean, this is some kind of temple where they worship. But yet there is a dinosaur that somebody drew. Have somebody draw a dinosaur that they've never seen. And the idea of some of these objects on these dinosaurs are cartilage. What part of cartilage shows up in a fossil? Cartilage decays. Soft tissue decays. And yet on these dinosaurs, they draw pictures that even show elements of soft tissue that man didn't know about before. Until we started digging these things up and scientists started finding them and documenting them, we didn't know anything about them. So how did somebody hundreds and thousands of years ago carve something like that, except that they had seen it? So we have evidences that man and dinosaurs coexisted, which evolutionists admit, debunks the whole idea that we just evolved, Now here's the trail in Glen Rose, Texas. There are several of these. As you see, there's a man, I think it is Don Patton in the background. This is a riverbed in Texas, a rock. Some years ago, maybe in the 90s, possibly back in the 80s, they discovered these dinosaur tracks. And so in the summer, when it gets real dry in Texas, they dam up the river and hold the water off of it. And they go, and on occasions, they've been able to do this.
and clear all the dirt off, and then they find these dinosaur tracks. And lo and behold, there's a set of tracks that crosses them here. Well, that set of tracks that crosses them was a human set of tracks. And here, in this is something taken off this website. These are really hard to see, so I apologize for that. They have taken both sets of tracks. I think the set of tracks that emphasize the human track here. See the toes and the foot outline of the human print. And over here, they emphasize the dinosaur track, which is something in this area right here. This is not the. I do not believe. It might be that one. There's a couple sets of these tracks. So, and you see on this outline here how they're outlined. And yet evolutionists still say humans did not coexist. In this riverbed, a set of tracks that they found, these men that found it, were excited about it. They grabbed one of their evolutionary scientists and took them out there. And the next weekend, these sets of tracks were destroyed. They took a pry bar and a crowbar and objects and destroyed these footprints that were found that were so blatant and showed so well how that a human and a dinosaur walked in the same track. There's no way around. You can't make these things up. They said, well, somebody carved these out of stone. These were carved. That's what they want to argue. That's what they want to say. You can't do these things. Matter of fact, they took a track in a rock. I don't have it here, and I've not found it yet on the internet. It's neat to see. They took and they cross-sectioned the toe. It's not this track, but they cross-sectioned across the toe where the human print was, and they showed that the rock in the sediment that was there was deformed under the toe, like it would be. Like if you step on something, the ground cuts. And they showed when they cross-sectioned that, you could see the grains of the soil were in cross-sectioned that toe. That was not carved. You can't carve that into a rock. But evolutionary people still will do not want to accept this fact. They cannot accept this fact. This is what we would call a religion to them. No matter what they see, whatever facts are presented to them, they can't accept that these things exist. Here's another track. This is not the one I showed a picture of going down. This you see the human footprint here and the dinosaur track on top of it, and how they overlap there. This also is an object. This casting is in Hot Springs, Arkansas, in this gentleman's museum, Don Patton. That's one of his artifacts he shows. Well, what else besides dinosaurs and humans coexisting? And I know, actually, I looked at these Wednesday night to check. I know you can't read these because I couldn't read them either. So there's something called a salt clock. That's what they call it. So basically, the idea is you got an ocean out here. Salt washes off the soil into the ocean. And it causes the ocean increase. You look at the Great Salt Lake right now, and you look at the concentration. My understanding is you can't live in it, so concentrated. The idea is salt continues to wash off the soil into the ocean. Well, after time, and in a lot of time, hundreds of thousands of years, you should see an elevated concentration of salt because salt keeps going into the ocean. Well, you think once it mixes in there, there's not a lot of ways for salt to come out of the ocean. There's a lot of ways for it to go in. Hard to get it back out. Now, there are ways of getting it out, but you don't get very much. In this particular, this is from Answers in Genesis. It's another website that's promoting the creation of the earth in a young earth. So they show the losses, and I know you can't read these. There's a couple of ways and events that can, like here, they're talking about sea spray. The 60 million tons lost that way. Sea floor exchange for earthquakes and stuff, and the plate tectonics as the earth moves around, or surface moves around. There's ways that salt does get taken out of the ocean. But in essence, there is not enough salt in the ocean for it to be millions of years old. If the ocean was that old, it would be more concentrated than what Great Salt Lake is. And yet, if you look at the earth being less than 10,000 years old, it makes perfect sense. Now, we don't know after the flood what the concentration of salt was in the ocean. We don't know the starting point, but it don't matter where the starting point was. It can't get past 10,000 years. It's not going to happen. Not with what we have here. And so here is another example. The concentration of the ocean says the earth cannot be that old. We also have the sediment. We talk about the ocean as dirt washes in the ocean. You go look at the ocean floor, all this dirt and soil washes out the ocean and piles up. Well, if it's millions of years old, then there should be a certain, well, you know what? The amount of sediment in the ocean shows that we're still less than 10,000 years old.
And evolutionists want to say, well, we got the earth is always moving, these crusts are moving, and we continue, it's like a conveyor belt. Everything keeps moving, and it keeps circulating around here. And you know, it just seems more logical to sit here and say, you know what? God did all this back in the days of Noah. And he created the earth in a short period of time. It can't be more than 10,000 years old. And so the salt or the sediment level in the ocean is another evidence that we have a young earth, one of the best cases to talk about. So they actually state that after 3 billion years, there should be 250 times more sediment than we see today, if you follow a evolutionary timeline. And we don't see that. Oops. The rapid formation of the layers of the soil. You know, what they always say about evolution, it just slowly, over time, all the space dust and asteroids come in, and dust keeps piling up, and Earth gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Now we're here today. Except the odd thing is, as you look at the layers, they're all bent. And in this case, this is a petrified tree that they found at the bottom of it is in a layer of coal, and it pierces through rock. Now, how do you get a vertical tree petrified through rock over millions of years as sediment slowly builds up? And this is evidence of a rapid formation of layers and coal. Rapid formation, not the slow, gradual. It's happened quickly. Also, if you look at like the Grand Canyon, the fact that these rock-hard layers are all bent, it's happened quickly. The footsteps in Glen Rose, Texas, it happened quickly. There was somebody walked through these animals, and man walked through mud of some sort. It was covered up quickly and fossilized quickly. Same thing, you know, rapid formation layers. That leads to a young Earth. This happened quickly. It didn't happen over billions and billions of years, like evolutionists want. Something else, and I think this is the last one I have for reference purposes. There's a lot more evidence. These are just the ones I thought were most astounding to me. Is the amount of helium in a radioactive rock or uranium. The idea is helium is the second to smallest element. You got hydrogen, which is the smallest. You got helium. Helium is inert. It doesn't convert to stuff. It just exists as it is. And also because it's one of the smallest ones, it's very light. And one of the manufacturing plants I worked at, we used helium to leak test refrigerant circuits. Okay? Because it's such a small element, it leaks out of everything. If there's any kind of hole in it, it's going to leak. And so we used helium for a leak tester in the refrigerant pipes. Here, the idea is you got a rock, which is porous to begin with, especially when we start talking about helium. And the idea is, with time, helium dissipates, just like a balloon. You got a helium balloon, it lasts a day or two in your house. Even the plastic ones, supposed to be sealed off so good, maybe a week and a half. Then helium's gone. When they fall to the floor, the helium is gone out of it, because helium is light. Well, the same thing with rocks. As these rocks decay, they give off helium, and the helium leaves the rock, yet they find that there's lots of helium in those rocks still. If the Earth is millions and billions of years old, this helium would be gone. It would evaporate out, and to say evaporate, it would leave the rock and exit into the atmosphere. And in this case, it actually shows the helium would dissipate even out into outer space. But being one of the smallest elements, that's the nature of it. It's just a small element. You can't keep it combined. But they go and they drill in this term that we use this more in Bible class, Precambrian. Wasn't that the word you used, Tom? Precambrian? Is that the word something close to it? Well, they call this one the pre-flood granite rocks in New Mexico, here in the States. They extracted samples of zirconium crystals from different depths. The crystal contained not only uranium, but also large amounts of helium. Well, we can't have that there if we're millions and billions of years old. It won't be there. It would dissipate and leave those rocks. And so, what they say about this is also, this is taken from answers in Genesis, one of the facts that they put up. The helium diffuses so rapidly that all the helium in these crystals should have leaked out in less than 100,000 years. The fact that so much helium is still there means they cannot be billions of years old, as uranium lead dating suggests. And so that's a dating technique that they use on rocks. And these measuring rate of helium diffusion, these pre-flood rocks have an average diffusion rate of only 6,000 years, plus or minus 2. Well, that's right in the middle of what we say the Earth is, according to the Bible. It's a few thousand years old, not millions and billions of years. Why is it important to us?
Evolution is attack on the Bible. Evolution is attack on Christianity, because evolution says there is no God, there is no designer, because if there's a designer, that's why they got to have, all this has got to happen by chance. If they admit they're a designer, well, the designer matches up what the Bible says. So it has to be by chance. And there has to be millions and billions of years of time, because it has to take all that time statistically for it to make sense that you can do this. Like, right, taking a room full of monkeys and typewriters, and they're writing out the words of Plato. Well, in theory, you give them enough time, enough millions and billions of years, eventually they're going to repeat what has been written before. And we understand the how crazy that is, really. So the evidences, some of the best evidences, and in my mind, and I picked out the ones I thought were best. There's a lot of them out there. Some of them more scientific in nature, some of them less scientific. I thought these were neater, especially I like talking about dinosaurs. And so those are neat. And you know, and there's Christians, and I know of Christians, who even question the existence of dinosaurs. Because of years and generations going by, there's so much pressure put on by these so-called scientists that, hey, these guys got to be right. They went to college for it, right? They got to be right. And that's the way we look at it sometimes. There are, dinosaurs did exist. They existed. They lived and they were coexisted with man. And it wasn't millions of years ago. It was the last 10,000 years. So they did exist. Dinosaurs are not that old. There's other evidences I didn't show, historical evidences of dinosaurs, that they coexisted with man. Even one of them, one of the kings of England, is depicted harvesting or conquering a dinosaur. And of course, back then it was called a dragon, actually. So all these pictures, the old pictures, they were called dragons by people back then. The word dinosaur is something of our recent historical creation. Man come up with the word dinosaur recently. So all before that, it was all considered to be dinosaurs. There is soft tissue. Even evolutionists admit there is soft tissue in dinosaur bones. They're finding blood vessels. They're finding blood. They're finding other soft tissues in dinosaurs. And so I guess my question might be, is Jurassic Park, can it happen? Well, I don't know about that. That'd be kind of interesting, wouldn't it? That'd be bad. I wouldn't want them. Watching that movie, I wouldn't want those dinosaurs out there today. The grizzly bear is bad enough right now. Some of those other ones were quite mean. But man and dinosaurs coexisted. There's human evidence, and evidence in the rocks and the soil, and pictures of man carvings that show that man coexisted with dinosaurs. They seen dinosaurs. They knew what they looked like. And it wasn't from digging them up out of the ground. Even soft tissue and cartilage are depicted in their carvings. The salt concentration in the ocean, it tells us what we have existing here is less than 10,000 years old. There's not enough salt in the ocean for it to be there that long. The sediment in the ocean shows that the ocean itself and what's been washed in the ocean, the sediment itself, has been there less than 10,000 years. The rapid formation of earth layers is more inclined to what would have happened with a global flood like in Noah's day, not an evolutionary process, as we were taught in college and in high school. The helium in the rocks, the fact that helium is such a small element, it dissipates. And we see that ourselves as we go get these balloons and we pump them full of helium and set them out there with the day and the afternoon. They're already on the floor. Helium is so small and light that it will dissipate out of the balloon and it goes up in the atmosphere and even leaves our Earth's atmosphere. And yet, rocks are still holding way too high a concentration of helium if they've been here millions of years. What this means, especially if you're an evolutionary scientist, is if there is a God, then there is someone we need and we should be aware of and concerned with in our life. And that's why we study our Bible. God tells us of where we came from. He tells us how we should live our lives. And if we admit that He is God and He is Creator and He's created these things, then we admit that He is right to rule over our lives. We need to realize that our kids will be taught what we just talked about here, is that to be taught that we evolved in many years and that we are nothing more than an ape. Because that's what evolution teaches, doesn't it? If we evolve over time, the evolutionary chart, the timeline, shows that we were apes once. And therefore, if we're an ape, then we have no moral responsibility. There's no moral accountability for us. And is that not the way our world lives? With no moral accountability. They want to. It allows us, if we take that stand that we evolved over time, and if we will not acknowledge there's a God, then we can live as we want to. But if we admit there's a God, if we admit that God created all this stuff. If God created us, then we admit that He has a right to tell us the best way to live our lives and what is right for us. Because if He created us with a purpose. And that He did do. He created with a purpose. And that was to serve Him as we live here. And also, a companion fact goes along with the idea that we are created. And that God created us from the dust of the ground. If He can create us from the dust of the ground, He can also allow us to live after death. Now, we know once we leave this earth and die, we're buried and we're gone. But God has promised us that one day there will be a judgment. That there is a place waiting for us in the future. And that place, He's promised there's two places. One of them is a good place and one is a bad place. And the good place is where we want to go. In our world, we talk about Satan as more in Bible class a little bit. The misconcepts of Satan, if you watch TV in our commercials, he's this little man with a red tail and his tongue and holding this fork, right? This pitchfork of some sort. And that he is king over hell. And he's enjoying hell as his life, as his domain. But we know that's not the accurate depiction. God has showed us and told us that hell is not a good place. Even Satan is tormented in hell. It's not a place anybody wants to go. And so hopefully those things help us see, and as our kids grow up and as they're indoctrinated with the stuff in schools and brought to their attention in college, realize the objections to there being a billion-year-old earth. It's not. Thousands, yes. Billions, no. And we have a creator. And so our creator, as we talked about, he told us how we could live our lives, how we should live our life. He sent our Savior. And our Savior, the memorial we took this morning to remind us of our Savior and His work, he said through His Savior and through those apostles that He granted that they how we could be right with Him. How to make ourselves right. Because He has determined what is right for us. And in the church age that we're in now, since the New Testament times, He established a church. And those who want to become Christians, have their sins washed away, can do that and be baptized. And those instructions are found in the New Testament. And if you've been baptized and you stumbled along the way and you didn't make things right with God, we offer the time this morning to answer the call, the invitation, as we stand and sing a song of encouragement.